Anderson heaving one down the sideline, and he's got Cass Allen.
Listening to the Bruin Bible. This is your host, Will Decker, bringing you UCLA football content all throughout the year for LA Football Network.
Up, LAFB fans, you are listening to the Bruin Bible right now, but we want to bring to you our sponsor for the show. It's Bet Online. Our partners at Bet Online continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all of the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's Wimbledon finals. I know our guy Madman will be all over that. The big tennis fan of the bunch. Major League Baseball, Dodgers in the midst of a big-time season, highest payroll in the league, three MVPs in the lineup. Can they figure it out? The latest fighting news, a huge MMA fight coming up this weekend for the UFC, and even next season's early NFL futures. I know you guys will be hammering the Rams and Chargers overs on the futures for next season. Head to our website to use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LAFB to get the bonus and get into the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. What is up and welcome to a brand new edition of the Bruin Bible. Madman, college football has officially started, and the Bruins are going to be playing this week. We have been waiting all offseason for this. It has been a long time coming. We're officially here, man. It's just a weight off the shoulders. You know, I could see myself just kicking my feet up on these beautiful Saturday mornings and afternoons just watching football. How excited are you that we are finally here, that we are finally seeing football that actually matters and counts towards the national standards?
Will, it's unbelievable. It's in many ways the time has flown by, and in many ways it feels like it's been 40 years since we've last talked about meaningful football with the Bruins of UCLA. So grateful that we're here. You know, in the words of Pat Riley, grateful to be alive and living in Los Angeles and ready for a Bruin season, and also grateful that my name isn't Scott Frost. So that's always a bonus.
My God, that defense. The one word that came to mind was incompetent, because they were getting burned by the same run play up the middle. And, you know, I was, you know, actually tweeting with Sua, well, you know, one of the guys from LAFB, and we were talking about it. And he's like, man, this defense is a joke. And I mean, I hate to call out somebody like that, but the way that Scott Frost has lost in these close games, he makes it an art, man. It is something we've never seen before. NFL training camps are wrapping up too. So we're going to do a really fun kind of, you know, episode of the Bruin Bible. We're going to be breaking down what guys are flashing in camp, because the Bruins had the most draft picks of any Pac-12 school last year. So we got a lot of guys in these camps, a lot of guys fighting for spots. And then, Madman, I'm going to play a game that I really am excited to kind of get over to you. It's the over-under game. And we're going to do it with a little historical twist with some of these stats that they could potentially hit, which I think is going to be really fun going into game week. We're actually at a game week, which is just unbelievable to think about. So a lot of fun with that. Madman, let's start talking about the preseason guys, because there's been a lot of UCLA guys. I believe six were drafted total for UCLA. But the one guy that has really stood out this far that we are hammering home, because we knew back in the draft process, this guy's a stud. Anyone who gets this guy is going to reap the benefit of having this guy in their starting lineups. And I want to lead off with a quote here. And it said, at the end of the two-on-two period, this is from Robert Greenlaw, who covers the Titans pretty closely. Titans head coach Mike Vrabel called for the best two on offense and defense for one play. The offense set out Robert Woods and Kyle Phillips. Think about that. This is a kid, a fifth-round draft pick coming in, and he's already looked upon as one of the first two guys there. And from what we've seen, we saw the punt returning ability in the big game there. We've seen the routes that he's been able to break off in practice. I envision Kyle Phillips being a stud. I don't know if I even envision it to be this quickly. What is Kyle Phillips doing for Tennessee out there for the Titans?
Well, it's just, you know, his ability to be able to read defenses pre-snap, just the ability for him to cut in and out of his breaks so cleanly. And just his precision route running, his sure-handedness in terms of being able to catch the ball and then also get down without getting hurt. He's just such a reliable weapon. You throw him out there in special teams as well. and he's just the total package. And when you factor in that the Titans have lost their leading receiver and A.J. Brown to the Eagles, you know, that really sort of opens things up in terms of opportunity, right? I mean, you know, preparation and opportunity, when those two things come together, magic happens. And I see Kyle Phillips having a huge year and potentially even making a run at AFC Offensive Rookie of the Year, because he has so many opportunities here. And how great is it for the Titans that it's the two LA guys, you know, that are considered their two best receivers in terms of Robert Woods and Kyle Phillips. And while they do similar things, a la the way Woods and Cooper Kupp did things with the Rams, I'm really just expecting huge things from Kyle Phillips. And it's something that you, me, Ryan Dyrud, founder of LAFB, we've seen this now for 12 months, for 24 months. Even when Phillips didn't have great quarterbacking play at UCLA, you still saw big games. Stanford 2 years ago, you saw his ability to catch the ball in some of these big conference games, even when the Bruins were 3-9 and 4-8 and folks were really honing in on him. He's just a special player, and his skill set just fits the modern NFL so well. So I can't say that I'm surprised, but just so proud of him representing the blue and gold at the next level.
And, you know, there was a couple moments where you think maybe he's going to be outmatched, at least at the college level. I remember LSU comes into the Rose Bowl last year. Stingley on one side, Elias Ricks, who's going to be a very high draft pick in the 2023 process. He had the game-sealing touchdown where he ripped it out of a Ricks' hands, went to the outside and had like a 45-yard touchdown, you know, running down the sidelines. And those are the moments where you're like, oh, this guy could play against anybody, period. Like, it's not just, you know, some Pac-12. It's not a fluke. It's not, you know, something like that. This guy's built for the next level, and he's showing that. And the coolest thing for that tweet that the reporter had for me was, they're saying the best two out there, they drafted a first-round receiver in Treylon Burks. He is exceeding expectations of the first rounder. So Kyle Phillips balling, I think that's such a cool sign for us Bruins fans to be watching. Can't say I'm a Titans fan, but I am a massive Kyle Phillips fan coming forward. A lot of other dudes still trying to make some roster spots. And a guy that has really flashed in preseason, seventh-round draft pick, was kind of the second running back in command last year. Britton Brown has been doing some big things, Madman. Give me your takes on what you've seen with Britton Brown kind of coming into the Raiders and making a name for himself.
It's been so great to see, Will, and obviously Britton Brown was, you know, another one of the great Chip Kelly transfers, been with the program for 2 years. And I think that his ability to kind of share the backfield over his 2 years with two very unique running backs, I think made it him so NFL ready. And I think that's kind of the theme here. When you look at a Phillips, you look at a Britton Brown, how NFL ready these guys are. And it speaks to, A, the transfer portal of Chip bringing in more mature guys, guys that know themselves better, that are physically more sort of grown up and also mentally more grown up. And I think with Britton Brown, what's so key is, you know, he had to share time with Dimitric Felton 1 year, who was this flashy jukester, you know, just super explosive, and then had to share the backfield with Zach Charbonnet, who we've, you know, called the Terminator, and rightfully so. And so what that does for you is, you know, it really hones in your skill of how to be a complementary back. What I love about Brown is he's kind of a one cut and go guy. He knows exactly who he is. He's not going to be dancing around the hole very much or going laterally. He's going to find that one cut and then lower his shoulder and get those 4, 5, 6 yards. And that's what we've seen him do here with the Raiders. And when you see kind of the concepts that the Raiders are putting together with Carr, with Devonta Adams, a lot in the passing game, you know, from kind of an intermediate short-term passing game standpoint, Britton Brown, what a great compliment, because I think the Raiders are going to be in a lot of third and short, fourth and short situations with the way they're playing. Give me a Britton Brown to get me those tough first downs. And you have a very decisive role there. I see Britton Brown not only making the team, but I think getting a few touchdowns this year in some red zone and goal line situations, and just so happy for him because he's been a little bit under the radar with some of the more decorated UCLA running backs.
And first downs are right, Madman, because first downs picked up by 2022 preseason running backs for the Raiders. Britton Brown is first at 10. He's picked up 10 first downs through the preseason in a lot of extensive time. Zamir White, the running back that was picked ahead of him, the former Georgia back for the Raiders, has five of those. So he has literally doubled the next closest guy on the board. Brent Brown, multiple touchdowns, too, in these preseason games, really making a name for himself. And he is fighting for that 53-man roster. Former Nebraska tailback Amir Abdullah and him are fighting for that fourth-string spot. So looking forward to hopefully seeing Britton Brown play in the NFL this year, a guy that we always root for, a guy that, like you said, was around two really high-level NFL-caliber backs in Felton and Charbonnet, and he sharpened his own craft too. I mean, he's an NFL back in his own right with everything going on there. A couple other things going on, Madman, from some of the other draft picks. Greg Dulcich has been injured. So we really have not been able to see him. He's been one of our top guys. But I will say it came out that the Nathaniel Hackett, the head coach of the Broncos, is saying they're doing everything they can to get Greg Dulcich on the field for week one. He's going to be playing. So he's going to be out there. He's going to be running routes. He's got a Hall of Fame quarterback throwing him the football with Russell Wilson. I'm not worried about Dulcich. The fact that Hackett, you know, would stand on a soapbox and say that, hey, we just want to get him out there. That's all we need. And he's going to be fine on the 53-man roster. I think that's going to be great for Greg Dulcich. So really excited to see that.
I know he hasn't played. But, again, it's a question of, one, ingredient being NFL ready, and, B, the other ingredient being opportunity, right? And so Noah Fant, who was the Broncos' leading receiver from the tight end position last year, now in Seattle. And so, again, that opportunity – has really presented itself in Denver for Dulcich to really make a name for himself. They've got some good young receivers there, Judy, Patrick, so on and so forth. But I think, you know, all those guys can kind of grow together. And Russell Wilson, you know, in his heyday with Seattle, when they were really humming, you know, his ability to find the tight end was really important. And even though a couple of those years when Jimmy Graham was in Seattle, he had a really nice connection with Russell Wilson. And so all of that is to set the stage, I think, for Dulcich to be in a really good situation for himself, even though he hasn't quite made it on the field just yet.
And Dulcich has been performing, like, will be out there, you know, come week one, we are hoping. Another guy that we've been talking about, Otito Obonya, you know, interior defensive tackle for the Chargers. We had our guilty as charged, you know, friend of the network out there watching practices. They gave him a B-. They said he's doing good things. He had 9 snaps. The last preseason game had 1 pressure. So he's doing his thing, getting on the field, making plays. And Quentin Lake, unfortunately, it's a very similar story to his collegiate career. The talent is there. Injury has just kind of been a bug. But McVay has kind of went out and he was questioned about, you know, Quentin Lake and one of the other young safeties they have in the roster. And he goes, we want to keep these guys. These guys are good players. We want them back. So likely that Quentin Lake will probably start in the physically unable to perform list. I could see him being a practice squad, but Madman, as we said, if we could just get a Quentin Lake healthy season, this guy's got an NFL, you know, role player written all over.
No question about it, Will. And we talked about, you know, the ability to close with Quentin Lake, his ability to read the defense from the safety position, but then his wingspan and his length in the ability to kind of close in pass coverage and help coverage. And I think the one thing that's going in Quentin Lake's favor is after Jalen Ramsey, there is a lot of fluidity, let's call it, in the Rams secondary. They drafted 2 corners in the 6th round and in the 7th round. And then, of course, bringing Quentin Lake on. So there's a lot of opportunity there. There isn't necessarily a hierarchy that's set up just yet for the Rams. And so if Quentin Lake, even if he's starting on the practice squad, being on the PUP list right now, I think there's going to be ample opportunity over the course of the season for him to break through in the main roster. And I think he's going to surprise a lot of people. And let's just fingers crossed that he stays healthy. The injury bug has gotten him in his college career. I think if you can just kind of put 18 to 24 months together injury-free, you're really going to see a very viable, very solid NFL player here. And so wish him the absolute best.
Nothing but the best. And, you know, if he was healthy, I think, throughout his college career, we're talking about a day 2 pick in the NFL draft. I really believe that for Quentin Lake. Madman, here is a fun segment. I think I did this with Rye or Die last year. We did the over-unders, but I kind of took it to another level coming into this year. We're going to be doing all different positions on the offense, all different positions on the defense. you know, gambling's a big part of this website. Shout out to Bet Online. They are one of our sponsors here. I think this is going to be the best over under we've ever done on the show. And I just know you're going to love it. I just know you're going to love it as an alum of UCLA football, because it ties in the history of the program. And what better way to start this off, Madman, than with the quarterback position, the fifth-year senior coming back, DTR. And I want to ask you this question, because it does have to deal with a very specific player in the past. Dorian Thompson-Robinson has never passed over 3,000 yards in a career season for him thus far. However, this is his fifth year back. He is the most experienced player in the pack. Madman, I want to ask you a very specific number. Is he over 3,756 yards passing? Because that is the highest in a regular season total by Josh Rosen.
Yes. Yeah. Will, I'm going to have to go under there, not because of anything that Dorian can't or can do. I think it's more a function of, if UCLA is expected to have the season that we believe that they will have, the key is going to be balance in a Chip Kelly offense. And I think Chip wants to be in that 220 to 240 passing yards a game and 200 to 220 in terms of running the ball. And so if Dorian is threatening 3,756 yards, that means that he's having to throw the ball a lot more than we like, which means that either, God forbid, we're behind in a lot of games early, or God forbid something has happened to Charbonnet in terms of his health and whatnot. So I am going to go under, because I think it's going to be a much more balanced attack, but he's going to be able to dial it up when he needs to, but I'm going to go under.
I love it. Well, let me reframe that question to you. So number 8 on the all-time list in a regular season is Brett Hundley. Very similar player, very similar skill set, the dual threat quarterback. In 2013, he went for 3,071 yards. Are you going over on that, or are you going under? Because I think I'm going over.
Yeah, so 3,071 yards there, Will, over a 12-game season. That
add a bowl game in there, too. Add a bowl game in there.
You got to put the bowl game in there. So in a 13-game season, that's coming to roughly 240 yards passing. And so I think that's about right the line. Like, if you were a betting guy in Vegas, Will, that would be the perfect over-under line, because I think 240 yards per game is right at the line of where DTR's ceiling, I think, passing yards is going to be, where Chip would be kind of comfortable where he's executing. I'm going to go slightly over because I love DTR, but I think it's going to be close either way.
I love it, and I think that's a safe over-under. I'm feeling confident about it. I think 3,000 yards, never seen it from DTR. Granted, you mentioned the system. It's more of a run-first type of system. But I'm ready to let DTR out, the quarterback, the thrower. I think Chip wanted him to come back just so he could show NFL teams in general how much of a thrower this guy really can be if he were to make that step to the next level. So I'm excited to kind of see what Chip and DTR have in store for that year. Rushing yards. He had over 600 rushing yards last year. And in my opinion, I think there's a real chance where he can surpass that this year. I'm putting over under at just 700 yards rushing. What do you think about that, Madman?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, he was at 609 last year with 9 touchdowns over a 12-game season. So that comes to exactly 50-51 yards rushing per game. When you look at the dynamic, obviously you had Charbonnet at around, you know, little south of 1,200. And then you, of course, had Britton Brown, aforementioned Britton Brown, having a piece of the action as well. UCLA's, let's call it, lack of clarity on who RB2 is going to be at the start of the season, I think is going to give DTR some more reps, you know, in terms of being able to have some QB keepers on some of these read option type of plays. I think, again, 700 is right at that line. I think he's going to be right there, but with the 13th game now with the bowl game. So even if he's at 50 to 55 yards rushing, which is where you want him to be, he should be right in that 700 to 725 range. So I'm going to go over there as well.
I love it. And, you know, we've been standing that he is a dark horse Heisman candidate. We really believe that. We think this kid has what it takes to make it to New York when the season's all said and done. So I kind of need him to hit those stat lines if we want to consider him a Heisman. So I think there's a real chance he can hit that. Madman, last over-under with DTR, and this is a fun one. I'm going, and this is just from a Pac-12 all first team, second team, third team perspective. I've got him over, under, or just right Pac-12 second team this year.
I've got UCLA, and I don't know what the rest of your segment is. So I'm going to, in terms of over, under, that's part of the surprise. So let me not give too much away of where my thinking is going in the rest of the over, under. But I'm going to surprise you here, Will. I'm going to go over on the second team. The other two obvious candidates, Cam Rising, Caleb Williams, and DTR. I think it's sort of a three-horse race there of who's going to be first, second, and third. I just think the schedule lines up so well for DTR. You know, we're expecting this team to be 5-0 going into that Utah game when you look at their schedule. And when you talk about the numbers that he can potentially accumulate in September, I think there's a real track record there where he's going to build some momentum. That game with Rising is going to be a battle for sure. But I think overall, his numbers are going to offset Rising's because of the way Utah plays. And I think if UCLA gets comparable to Utah in terms of the win total, then the stats really matter even more. And that's where I think DTR is going to steal an all Pac-12 first team.
I love it, man. We'll put it down. We got DTR slightly over for 3,000 yards passing, over 700 yards rushing with the bowl game, and we've got him finishing first team all Pac-12. What a great start to this segment, Madman. We are going to transition now to the Terminator himself, Zach Charbonnet. And I want to be careful with this one because, you know, with the rushing totals, I was looking at the top rushers, you know, in the history of UCLA. Jonathan Franklin's at 1,700 yards. I think that's way too much, especially for a two-back system. So I want to scale this back a little bit. Can he finish a top three rusher at UCLA in the history of the yard? So the numbers I'm looking at right now is, can he reach Paul Perkins at number two all time, who's 2015, had a historical season, was on the short list, you know, for the Doak Walker, had a hell of a season. 1,575 yards rushing the football. And if you know, there is the two-back system. There is Dorian sometimes taking rushing yards away from that. Do you think, over under, if you were betting, if you were going to the cashier in Vegas right now, Madman, what is your guess? Over under 1,575 yards for the Terminator.
Will, this is a, you know, you have not made this easy, my friend. Let me tell you. Yeah, and it's a testament to your preparation and who you are, because these lines, man, I swear, they're right either way. You know, I think that he's going to be north of 1,500. I think he's definitely going to be in that 120, 125 yards per game average. I'm going to go slightly under, and here's why. Because I think the first few games of the season, I don't think he's going to get that many carries. And short of, you know, needing to go crazy the way he did against Hawaii with six carries for 106 yards, three touchdowns, you know, these first three games against FCS competition, I'd be stunned if he had more than 12 carries in any one game there. And so I think his yards per carry are going to be great. We're going to get some great run. But I think Chip's going to want him to really be fresh going into October and beyond. So I just don't think he's going to get enough at the start to justify 1,575. I think he'll ultimately get to 1,500, but I'm going to have him slightly under.
I agree. And when you look at the first three opponents, Bowling Green, Alabama State, and South Alabama, I got to go slightly under. But I do think if all the stars were to align this year, we are in for an all-time Bruins running back season with Charbonnet. No question. The skill level, the talent, the physicality, the quickness, the, you know, the feet. I mean, he does everything right out there when he's running the football. I am so excited to see it. But I just think his day is over at halftime in all three of those games if everything's going as planned. So I'm going to say slightly under, but that's not to be a deterrent to Bruins fans because he is going to step up when we need him most. So I will say that. Zach Charbonnet slightly under, but still a historical 1,500-yard season on the ground. Here's where it gets a little interesting, too, because I'm looking at the all-time single-season touchdown numbers. And you can call me crazy because I went back and forth on this number because it is, when you look at it on paper, it's like, wow, that is crazy. But knowing that we have Charbonnet as just the number one back and we have no idea who the number two back is, and this offense moves the ball, we're going to be in a lot of red zone situations. Does Zach Charbonnet go for Skip Hicks's single season record in 1997 of 22 touchdowns? Over, under? And on first look, I totally get it. You're like, 22 is a lot. But I think there's a real scenario where this guy's getting two touchdowns a game come Pac-12 play. And I mean, that's what, 8-9 games? That doesn't even count the first three games where he's going to have 1-2 in the first half for my money. I'm going over. It's crazy. I'm going over. That's my pick.
I love it. Well, you know, it's the passion for UCLA. I love it. I'll never argue with someone who's going to go over. Here's my thing with Skip Hicks this year. I remember being 12 years old, huge UCLA football fan. I remember that season vividly. UCLA ran a lot of split formation back then with Skip Hicks, and he was able to sort of carve up a lot of red zone runs. McNown was the quarterback that year, one of his four great years there. McNown rarely ran the ball. You know, he was sort of a scrambling quarterback a little bit. There were a couple QB sneaks right at the 1 or 2 yard line where we would sort of push him in. But exclusively in the red zone, it was Skip Hicks time. And there's also a little bit of luck that needs to play in, Will. I remember that year, a lot of receivers kind of caught the ball at the 4 and fell down, or at the 6 and got tackled, you know, where some of those touchdowns were taken away from McNown and given to Hicks. As a result of that, 22 is such an aspirational number. If anyone can break it, I believe it is Charbonnet, there because of his unique combination of his feet and his upper body toughness to be able to shed tacklers and go in. But I have to go a little bit under because I think Dorian's going to get some of his on the ground there. I actually think that there's going to be some jet sweeps with Kaz Allen in the red zone. I think we're going to try and get a little bit, you know, one off with Morrell and some of the others as well. So I think there's going to be some mouths to feed just from a variety standpoint. He's going to have a huge year, but I'm going to go slightly under.
Totally get it. 22 is a massive number, but when you're drawing up the perfect red zone running back from like 5 to 7 yards out, he's strong and tough enough to go between the tackles, and he's quick enough to go to the outside. Like, he is perfect for that area. And I think that's his NFL future is going to be used, you know, in those, like, as a three down back, but he's going to make his money in the red zone when it comes to Sundays. And I think it's in play. I'm not, you know, I'm going over because we're an optimist, but I think there's a real chance
we can play well. You're absolutely right. It's in play. And I think that 22 over a 13-game season, you're essentially saying he's at 2 touchdowns a game every game outside of, let's say, the 3 opening games, right, where he may or may not get enough runs. So very little margin for error there. But if anyone can do it, he can do it.
And Tavian Thomas, the Utah running back, had 22 last year. I think, and no disrespect to Thomas, he's a hell of a back. I think Charbonnet is better than Tavian Thomas, prospect moving forward. So in my mind, it sounds crazy when you look at the number because that sounds like a gargantuan amount of touchdowns. But, man, I'm going over. I'm keeping it the optimist. Charbonnet, if he can get 22 touchdowns too, he is undoubtedly the Doak Walker Award winner.
Well, we got to have you as the face of the next UCLA commercial. You know, remember there was the Optimists campaign for UCLA when they had just become the number one public university in the country. And you had all these legendary UCLA alumni in sports and science and social justice, the Optimist campaign. I want Will Decker's face on the cover of the next UCLA commercial as part of the Optimist campaign. I love it.
Well, it's got to be you and I. It's just going to be a podcast that they're going to have to put on the TV air. So it's just going to be us two just hyping up UCLA and the university that it is. So we will definitely make that happen. Over under, I have him as the first team all Pac-12 running back. Is that a fair assessment?
Absolutely. Can't go over first team. If I could, I would, but he's all Pac-12 first team.
Yes.
I know Pac-12 come back, but I think there's also an element there where you're going to see Charbonnet be able to do more things. You know, Charbonnet, folks forget this, even in that LSU game, other games, the Stanford game comes to mind when Dorian's shoulder really gave out in that first half. Charbonnet's ability to catch the ball out of the backfield and be a safety blanket in some key moments is also going to reveal itself. And I think that's what's ultimately going to put him over the top over Tavion Thomas.
And there were just games last year, like, where he'd have like 10 carries for like 100 yards. And we were just like, why do you not, especially that Fresno State game. Oh, yeah. I was just like, you got to feed the ball more, especially when you're trying to kill a clock, when you got Jake Haener on the other side of the field, tearing us a new one. It just, it's so frustrating as a fan. Feed the beast, man. It's more simple than it sounds. You got a good thing. Don't fix it. Give him the rock and let the guy rumble. So first team, all Pac-12. I think we're on the same page. This is where it starts to get interesting because I'm going to bring in two receivers here. Bobo's going to be the first. Kaz Allen's going to be the second. And when I'm looking at the UCLA all-time leaders in catches for a year, 82 is the record with J.J. Stokes. He did that in 1993. And for more recent UCLA fans, Jordan Payton had 78, which is the second most in the history of the program in 2015. Bobo had 74 last year with a horrendous Duke quarterback room. Like, the defense knew where the ball was going. He still had 74 catches. He led the ACC in catches last year. You know, that's a conference, you know, maybe not tops, but it has Clemson's, it's got Miami's, it's got Boston College, teams that are flirting in the top 25. This is a good Power 5 conference. Bobo, I'm not going to go 82 because I don't think anyone could go 82 in our offense, but I'm going to go with 78. 78 catches. Over, under, or actually just right on this one because I think Bobo could be in that ballpark of 77, 78.
Thriller, it's a great point. And obviously, he was very special at Duke in the mid-70s with nearly 800 yards with, you know, it was a musical chairs at quarterback over there. They were picking guys off the street to quarterback Duke at various points of the season last year. Here's why I'm going under. And it's not because of anything, again, that Bobo can or can't do. I think for UCLA to be really successful this year, you need to have three guys that get you over 35 catches. And I think that that will look like a successful pass game. And if you look at the fact that Kazmir Allen only caught 17 balls last year, when you look at the fact that Cam Brown caught under 20 balls last year, in order for UCLA to be successful, it can't be where Bobo is in the mid to high 70s and the next leading receiver is down in the low 20s. And so we need to be able to sort of offset more balance. And I think where Bobo is going to end up, I actually think is going to be the mid to high 60s. And I like to see Kazmir Allen in the high 30s to low 40s. And I want to see Cam Brown in the high 30s to low 40s. And that will be, for me, great success offensively, that Dorian's got three guys that he can really trust at different points in the game. So for that reason, I'm going under.
Let me amend that. Jordan Payton, we were comparing his 2015 year. Let's go to his 2014 year. 67 grabs in 2014. Does that sound just right to you?
That sounds just right. That sounds just right to me. And let's go 68 for Bobo. I'll go over off of the 67. I love it.
68 for Bobo. Let's put it in there. And the thing with Bobo, too, is his height is such an advantage. He had, you know, only one touchdown last year, but I think that was more to the quarterback play. They had four different quarterbacks play for a 3-9 Duke team. Nine touchdowns, nine interceptions, four different quarterbacks were even sub 3,000 yards passing. Like, that is a horrific room. I think with Bobo's size and what you can do with him in the red zone, throw the jump ball fade route to a 6'5 big-bodied wideout, I think there's a play where this guy can get six, seven touchdowns this year. I'm going to put it to you. Over, under 6.5 touchdowns for this year.
Over.
I like that. I like that. I'm going in the same boat. I'm going to go over 7 or 8 touchdowns for Bobo to go along with a nice 60-plus catches, maybe even close to 1,000 yards. You know, I think that's, you know, swimming in the waters of maybe second team all Pac-12. Would love to see that. Kaz Allen's the next guy. And Kaz, I think people are underestimating what this man can do as a returner. I think he can arguably be the best returner in the country this year. You know, when it comes down to, we saw the Jets turn on against USC. He was a top 20 returner in yards last year in total. I'm going to put this to you. So I looked up return yards to make this more of an effective question. 600 total return yards he had last year. I think there's a way he's going to exceed that, especially with Kyle Phillips no longer there, who's a phenomenal punt returner in his own right. This sounds like a lot, but when you add the return yards, he should be around 1,000-plus yards through that with the punty and the kick return. 2,500 yards of total offense. Receiving and rushing.
Yes, yes. Receiving, rushing, returning, you're saying. Yes. All three. Yeah, well, that's a really interesting one. I have him, I think he's going to definitely be north of 500 yards receiving this year. And I want to see him north of 350 to 400 yards rushing this year. I really see him in that rover flanker role of DeAnthony Thomas, of Percy Harvin, like we've talked in the past. And when you say return yards north of 1,000, I think that's very fair when you go kickoff, when you go punt. So I have Kazmir as north of 2,000. Just about. I think 2,500 might be a little bit of a stretch, but where I do have him, and I firmly believe this, I think he's going to be a double-digit touchdown guy this year. And I think that he's going to be north of 10 when you factor in receiving, rushing, and returning. And so I've got him kind of north of 2,000 all-purpose yards and north of 10 touchdowns.
I love it. And on that note, we are going to flip to the defensive side of the ball, Madman. And we have a very good duo transferring in the Murphy twins. And this is going to be a fun one, as I think it's going to come down to sacks. Dave Ball holds the record for most sacks in a singular season at 16.5. I'm not going to ask for either one of those guys to do that individually, but can both of those guys exceed these 16.5 sacks coming in this year? They had 15.5 last year at North Texas. Granted, they are going to a tougher conference, but they were flying around in spring ball in a way that reporters' mouths were dropping out there on the field. 16.5 sacks. Can they combine break Dave Ball's 2003 record?
I think they can, Will. And I think where it's going to be a little bit interesting is we see the Murphy twins as sort of these interchangeable parts. Even last year at North Texas, the 15.5 sacks, you know, one had 8, one had 7.5. When you look at the tackles for loss, they're all within one or half of each other in all statistics. I actually think for them to be able to break that, more than each guy getting 8 sacks, I actually think one of them is going to separate a little bit. And I could see one of them get 10 or 11 and the other one get about 6. And that's how you ultimately break it. Now, they've both shown tremendous flashes. So I think part of it is going to be when they're going to play and what Chip's rotation is going to be with them as a function. But I totally see it where they can break the 16.5 sack record. I got a fun one for you, Will, just off the fly here. Who has more sacks this year? Is it the Murphy twins or Will Anderson?
Wow. I'm still taking Will Anderson, man. He's just that good. He is that good. I mean, you're even combining two guys' sack totals. I think like 16.5 between those guys is respectable. But I think Will Anderson, he's just the athletic gifts that guy possesses and the way he uses his hands. He's so locked in and engaged. I'm going for like maybe like 1.5 sacks a game this year for Will Anderson with what he's going to be doing for that Alabama defense. So Murphy twins, I'd love to go over. You know, I'm a UCLA optimist. I don't know if I could do it for Anderson, man. I don't know if I could do it.
Completely fair. Completely agree with you.
That guy is just too good, man. He's too good. Next guy we got for you, Madman. Darius Mwasa. This guy has 200 tackle seasons in his career. I'm not going to go for the Jerry Robinson tackle records where guys were playing through concussions in the early 60s, you know, playing way longer on the field where they should have. But over under 120 tackles. I'm not even putting him in the top 10 of all-time seasons for the Bruins. I just think 120 for a guy that's coming in, learning a new defense, very talented player, I think that's something he could put up if he were to reach his ceiling. Madman, if he were to reach his ceiling, do you think 120 is a fair number for him, or would you go under?
No, Will, I think that that's the appropriate ceiling. And I think when you sort of factor that out over the course of a 13-game season, you're talking about 9 tackles a game. And I think with the expectation of where Mwasau, in terms of the things that he's achieved, but also in terms of him quarterbacking that defense and being in more of a traditional 4-3 scheme now with McGovern, as opposed to, you know, having that sort of striker role, I think is going to put Mwasau in even more opportunities near the ball to make plays, swarm the ball, ball hawking opportunities. So I think 9 tackles per game is a fair stretch goal, and I think he's going to meet it.
Love it, man. And we got Mwasau coming there. Great blitzer as well. I don't think that gets talked about enough. Just a guy that's all around the football field making plays. We want to take it to the last guy. And this is a guy that signed with us for NIL. Just an awesome dude in general. Devin Kirkwood, friend of the show, friend of LAFB. Interceptions. I think he's my breakout defensive player within the pack, given his athletic gifts, given what he can do on the outside with his ball skills. Made the game-sealing pick against Washington last year. Is getting rave reviews from camp. And I was looking at different numbers. And 2.5 to 3 were kind of the two numbers I was looking at for interception totals. I'm going to go 2.5 because this is going to be his first year starting. All you have to have is to have a great year of tape, but there's so much luck that also comes into interceptions in general that it could make it tough. However, 2.5 interceptions, I think I'm going over. I think he's a 3 to 4 interception guy this year, and then we see the colossal first-round solidified year, the year 2023. What are you thinking with our final pick in Devin Kirkwood, man?
Will, I think you masterfully picked the number at 2.5 because I, you know, we always reference, and first of all, Kirkwood is going to be a star. He's already a star on the cusp of superstardom. And I think there's such a bright future for him, not only to captain this UCLA secondary, but also such a bright NFL future, and couldn't happen to a nicer kid as well, both on and off the field. I think that we referenced that Washington interception a lot because that's where he showed flashes. It was a game-sealing interception, game-saving interception. But that was also his only interception of the year last year. And so I have him making a jump with more opportunities, with more confidence, with better technique, taking on more of a leadership role. I have him right at 3 interceptions this year. So if you had given me 3.5, I would have gone under. You gave me 2.5, I'm going to go over because I got him right at 3 interceptions on the year. So masterfully done, Mr. Will Decker.
Masterfully done as well. We have finally gotten through all of the over-under picks. Madman, always a pleasure having you on the Bruin Bible. This is, we're back, baby. This is, well, college football is back, brother. This is as good as it gets.
Absolutely back and ready to go. And fans, keep listening to the Bruin Bible and let's get out there and fill the Rose Bowl. This is going to be a magical season for UCLA. The first time in 24 years, this is the best I've felt preseason about a UCLA team going to the Rose Bowl on January 1st in the last 24 years. I think it's going to be a season of destiny. Bruin fans, let's pack the Rose Bowl this year and have a great time doing it.
Pack the Rose Bowl indeed. Madman, my guest, thank you for coming on. Bruin Bible, we are.